LP.
Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member supported.
KXFM
on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying listening audiences that any opinions expressed on our shows are not representative of Laguna Radio, Inc., its management, or its board of directors.
It is straight up at 10 o'clock, and welcome to the Mornings with Ed show. Turns into the midday show at 10 o'clock, and we're glad you're here. Today is World Architecture Day. In case you were wondering what all those beautiful buildings are doing today, they're celebrating. And here in Laguna Beach, really architecture, if you think about the importance of the architecture in Laguna Beach and the importance of architects that transformed this community, you think about Mark Singer. And I don't just say that because we have his son Ryan in studio with us. I say that because it's true. When you see the lines on certain, but we'll get into all of that stuff in just a minute. I brought with us this morning Julie Lawton. Julie Lawton, design build. When I think of success and people that make me happy, you're there. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Ed, and welcome back myself to my favorite little booth. Yay.
You should just have that. That should be your permanent spot right there.
I should be here every morning. It'd
really
be fun.
Should.
You know I never stop talking.
You're like the perfect partner, I tell you what, right now. So we were having a really great conversation before we went on air about powerful women and powerful women in your field. And you started with design. You started with drafting, right?
Yes, I was drafting and drawing and painting when I was 10. And well, the drafting started at 12 and 13, 14. But by the time I got to college, I was a proficient draftsman and I tested out of mechanical engineering. So I was kind of in the geeky realm. And then I tried architecture and I thought, you know, I don't want to design the whole building and definitely not skyscrapers. So then I fell into the interior design space planning, how humans live and work in their dwelling or their shelter. So I was more into how the human functions and then, of course, the whole design inside and out. But I just kind of took a longer path to get there.
Right. And you and Ryan were having an interesting conversation about powerful women and the way that some companies see them and the way that they should be seen. Ryan, first of all, welcome and thank you for being here this morning.
Hi, thank you.
And tell us a little bit about what you were just saying with Julie about the powerful women in some companies you've seen.
Yeah, basically, I was working in New York and I saw the women, they were very much like men. In fact, they look like men, they talk like men. It really wasn't women in power, it was women disguised as men in power. So really men.
Right. They were having to conform.
Yeah,
to,
they were hidden. They were they weren't their true selves, which was kind of a bummer. I always wished that it was the other way. Like you see a men's symbol on the bathroom, there's a woman's symbol on the bathroom. They have their room, you know. So women should be powerful as they are, not having to compete with men.
Right, basically. Which is what we have here, which is an example of which I have at home, which is an example. We have a few examples, and we're fortunate that Julie's one of our examples here today.
Yes.
Yay. World Architecture Day, Julie.
It's a fabulous day to celebrate everything. Again, it goes back to humans living in their shelter. We wouldn't have cool shelters unless there were architects. So, you know, the whole concept of the architect and where it came from, I think it's really interesting how Ryan talks about his father and his father's beginnings and then Ryan's true architecture. It's kind of cool if you listen to Ryan in a minute, but it really is this whole combination of the engineering and the architecture and the beauty and then the designers and the interior designers and everybody that follows suit. But it does start with the core building and the structure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Ryan's father, Mark, who we lost in 2015. When I say transform the community, I don't say that lightly. He changed us from pitched roofs and shake wood shingles and into something else. Tell us a little bit about your dad, Ryan.
Yeah, so basically he studied engineering. He actually didn't study architecture. And he, you know, worked for some developers. He worked in a very technical way with poured-in-place concrete panels and, you know, calculating the centroid and basically getting everything done. He was always like a doer. He had a contractor's license. And so, yeah, that was his beginning. He's originally from New York, moved here when he was really young. And the way he found Laguna Beach was they would take vacations here. And so he always knew that this was his place. He loved it.
So when he would come on vacation here, he would think to himself, I'm guessing he would think to himself, well, not enough sharp lines here, not enough open space interiors, right?
Yeah, he probably had something like that in his mind.
Now, was there pressure on you as a kid to follow in his footsteps?
No, I kind of took to it right away. I mean, I loved buildings. I've always had my way, my vision of things. And, you know, I was drawing. I drew everything like rocket ships and cars. But, I started drawing these interesting homes that were kind of Schindler looking, or like Carlos Scarpa, another one. I was influenced by those like early, like around 8 or 9. In fact, the first house that I ever designed was a cylinder. It was this cylinder that spun, very much like the Apple, Apple campus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it was like that, a ring basically that spun around, and the kitchen was in the center. It was very interesting. And mm-hmm. my idea was so that you could take advantage of the sunlight from the different rooms, and there'd be a skylight over the center. Very. Just a really, progressive idea at the time. Mm-hmm. I was probably only like 6 or 7 when I came up with
that. That's insane.
Right. I think we're making news that Apple ripped off his design here.
There you go. See, he thought of it first.
Whatever.
So are you as hands-on with all your projects as your dad was?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, you get these builders where you have to handhold. So I've done
just
that.
Just talking about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, knock on wood. Like, we both, he and I, we honed each other's skills. To date, I've never had a house leak. So I'm really lucky. You know, he taught me to think like water. That's, you have to think about the details, So
when you say you've never had a house leak, what am I missing here?
Architects design things on paper, but that has nothing to do with actually what gets built at the end of the day, because a lot of people don't put in the proper stuff and they rely on the contractor or the city inspector, especially with waterproofing. And there is a big gap in the code on waterproofing and what should and shouldn't be specified, which is a no-brainer to good contractors, but there's a gap. So that's what he's talking about. It's the plans. If you really do it right, nobody mm-hmm. has to think. The plans are specified in detail, and they're logical. So, water is the enemy of all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, basically.
And do you, Julie, ever see plans given to you by an architect and go, well, no, these
no,
aren't...
No, never. In 100 years, okay, I've only been alive 60, but I've never had plans where I didn't have to add or improve or just do it right.
Right.
So they don't come that way. Now, I haven't had the pleasure of working with Ryan, but that should be soon, hopefully. Yeah, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Are there communities that you just you're drawn to because of their architecture? Are there places in the world that you must see their photos? You must go there. Are there places that like draw you?
Oh yeah. I mean, I look at everything, but I also like just sometimes I'll take a drive up the coast or whatever. I like to see what everyone's doing. So or down the coast. But yeah, I love looking at some of the stuff in Spain. A lot of European stuff. And just like really basic stuff, like in Africa or Australia, I got my eyes on everything. But when it comes to doing my thing, I just focus inward. So it comes from the site. The problem, like basically, you're solving a problem, so you have to get real. So you're looking at the people, what their needs are, and. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So location, the sun, everything. Mm-hmm,
just about an hour ago, I had local artist, magnificent sculptor George Dubin in, who sees things and then keeps it in, and then mm-hmm. becomes a work of art.
Yeah,
Is that how you trap the memory and then and then design it, put it on paper?
Well,
is that process the same, I guess, is what I'm asking.
The making it art, like, how you worked with your dad and then he kind of softened things,
So a lot of that comes from philosophical ideas, journaling. There's been a big push for me to do more outside, inside. Like, really, if you look at a lot of the homes around here, no one's really taking advantage of this beautiful weather we have. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is, like, that's where we all want to be, but no one realizes that everyone's maximizing they're filling up their land, and it's like you have this land you just filled up,
right?
Mm-hmm. And that could be yours to appreciate. But you got to know how to design it right. So mm-hmm. how do you preserve privacy? How do you preserve, you know, views? I actually pushed a house 20 feet back in order to get, you know, this amazing space on both sides. And actually from the back of the lot, you can see the sun set through the house. And it's amazing. It's like I pulled off a lot of different things with very simple moves, you know. But yeah, they come from, you know, inward study, like philosophical ideas that I just like write about. And I'll think about stuff. Sometimes I'll write a poem about my clients or, you know, I just really like think about what they really want, because they tell you what they want, but then you look at them and you kind of mm-hmm. see what they need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Beautiful point there. I, cause as you were talking, I'm thinking to myself, well, here in this town, to take advantage of our beautiful weather and all the magnificent things to look at, what if we were to combine, and I'm just being the dumb guy who's asking the question here.
Yeah.
What if we were to combine the regular, normal indoor living space that I currently have, open it up to where I'm kind of living in the outdoors?
Yes.
Is that making sense?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. But would that ever be allowed in this community to do something that progressive?
I mean, you can do this.
We can get that progressive.
Yeah, you can. You're abiding by rules, but right. you know, those are flexible. There is space. There's squishy space where you can do what you want. Yeah.
You can make it work.
You can make
saying.
It happen. Yeah.
Right. And, yeah. Julie, what are some of the creative, wonderful things you've been working on lately? I've seen you posting some magnificent finished products.
Well, I have like my vintage charmer, I love my vintage charmers because a lot of my clients, they have this story. So you take their story and you try to preserve the house or bring it back to its former glory, which is fun for the vintage restorations. But for new construction and new kind of modern thing, it really is, like Ryan said, the client's going to want their space to reflect them, period.
Right, right.
So I interview them just like you would be interviewed for, you know, anything. I'm picking their brain and giving them what they want. And they're telling me what they want, but you're really giving them what they really need.
Right.
And it's not what they're saying. Yeah. It's what they need. And then the space talks to you, because I, like Ryan might know, that when I stand on a lot or in a house, the house is talking to me. It's mm-hmm. telling me what to do. And then I always work with the environment, the sun, the wind, everything. And that indoor, outdoor is so key. But really, I go with the human factor,
right.
just as much as the earth and the environment, but that client factors in, but they don't even realize how valuable they are, because what they say might not be actually what they need. So it's kind of cool. It's a wonderful process, and we both do it the same way.
Right. I love searching for what they need in what they say. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Your father obviously left you with many, many great things. What is professionally the thing that you cling to, that you turn to every day, or what most when you do something about your father?
I don't know. I feel like, I've definitely internalized him.
Right.
So he's part of me.
Does he talk to you?
Yeah, one of the voices. professionally, it's kind of it's a double-edged sword, but I think the modern thing isn't necessarily what he, if you look at his work, he definitely has a modern base, but he's evolved and there's levels of evolution. And if you look at his later stuff, it's warmer. I don't think a lot of people know that, but I think it's good that he has this strata of different things, and some people do catch that. And you know, I think really it's his name that is good, because people do look to me and they realize, you know, I must have something to do with it. So there's that. I think it's his reputation.
Right. Now, Julie, you told me that Ryan had shared a story with you out here in the lobby as you guys were waiting to come in.
It's kind of like you have two men who collaborated, you know, because each person has their own gifts and their own talents. So that's the neat part about being designers and architects. When you do collaborate, it's kind of cool how that comes together. So that's what I didn't actually realize. And Mark's background in engineering I didn't realize that background. And I can see how the designs changed, because the hardcore kind of, you know, fundamental function of concrete walls and spaces is drastically different than maybe what's ended up with. And so that, yeah. My part was how neatly they collaborated and they're kind of individuals.
Yeah. We actually did a lot of woodworking too. So
really,
that's something
I saw some of that
did for fun. We would actually, and you know, how you put wood together when you're combining it, it was like an art form. We would just get into this Zen moment, and on the weekends we would just build stuff.
Right. You know, and, but your dad's signature material was concrete though, right?
That is one of them.
Okay. Yeah, metal, glass.
Stucco, but yeah, metal. Yeah. I mean, yes, concrete is one of them.
Right.
It's a little hard, but he has some where he did like, they actually took a trip to Europe and they collected, you know, building materials from old churches and roofs, like Spanish tile roofs,
right,
from cathedrals and stuff like that. They actually took like old, you know, doors from some old mansion or, you know, these, but it was 17 shipping containers that they brought over, filled with all these old antiquities. And it's, if you ever drive by, it's Cliff Drive. You would miss it because it doesn't look like a Mark Singer.
I didn't know that.
It's right. Amazing though.
Very cool.
Yeah. So there's that in the mix. People don't really understand the breadth of his work, but yeah, so he does have, and there are, you know, tons of awards that he's won, and still, I think to date, he has like the most.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe he's been beat by now.
Okay.
You never know.
So as we always laud some older colonial style home, whatever, architecture from the past seems to grab our attention. And as we move forward, is there a decade, let's say the 50s, the 60s, as you see homes and houses, was there a period in time when architects were really lazy?
Lazy?
Lazy, where there wasn't really a lot of creativity in what they did. Is there a decade that you like less than other decades as far as homes?
There is kind of this kind of bland 50s where it was like mediocre. But I think of my grandparents. And, you know, it's weird because there's something also cool about it at the very same time. Like, it's just got this sort of banal, doesn't really say much. You know, I think they were really tapped out. America was really...
The post-war tract home kind of started then. Everybody got the same house in suburbia. Get them in there, boom, 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 cookie cutter.
But a lot of good came from it. That's the other thing. So, but that same time has, you know, there's always... good and bad.
What good came from it?
So manufacturing, making things cheaper. There's Lindell Cedar Homes. They were actually doing things before, like around Frank Lloyd Wright's era.
Right.
But at that point, they kind of had the system and it really came to fruition. Like it evolved. So if you look at them, they're still around. And I actually have a potential client who we're talking about using that system. So that, like, that's pretty amazing.
Right. And just for the sake of kitsch sometimes, and kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Well, the Crystal Cove Cottages, three or four of them were ordered from Sears catalog.
Really?
You know, and assembled. Things like that came out of that era, you know, way back when.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. So what do you have coming up, Julie?
I have a bunch of wonderful projects. I'm kind of more in Laguna this year. Well, okay, no, I'm not. I'm 50-50.
It's nice to have you here. Yeah.
But I have more in Laguna this year than last year, and then I'm still on the peninsula and Lido Isle and stuff. So I'm still doing my same old thing, and I'm doing more remodels than new construction, but I'm trying to see if there's any new construction out there, because it would be nice to build a house from scratch and not remodel it maybe one day.
Yeah,
I've done it a few times, but it's just another experience, because then you can get into the engineering and do it right from ground up and not have to complement it. And because, you know, when you remodel, you don't use the old house, you build a new structure around it. The old house just sits there with no weight on it. So it's really new construction all the time, but, you know, nobody gets that.
For a brand new place, ground up, what's the most time consuming and I know each place is probably different, but is there a laying the foundation? What's the most time consuming?
Well, you know, everything has sections like trimesters of having a baby. I don't know. It's just sections, but the concrete is the first one. And if the weather screws with you, if you have ground that won't leach out the water like I did in North Laguna, the clay, the water would not soak into the ground. We had to wait weeks for the soil to dry because my soils guy was adamant of getting it, you know, tampered and pounded, you know, compacted. Right. So, oh my God, so that can slow you up. So, because the rest is impossible unless nobody shows up to work. But the soil work and the concrete is the potential longest time because of existing conditions.
And Ryan, what do you have coming up? What's on your horizon? Are you designing something that is going to just blow our minds here?
Well, I have a bunch of projects. So, well, there's three that I'm thinking of in particular, but one is completing, okay. One is coming out of the ground, and one's going through planning. So those are the three right now. I always keep it kind of small. I don't do, because I just work alone, no employees. But I have those coming up.
All right.
There's no photos really, but I'm...
You got to get more photos.
This is the first time I think I'm going to actually not shoot them with my iPhone.
Buy a camera like I did 10 years ago.
Hey, we'll get Kim Utley here. She's a fantastic photographer, friend of the program.
There you go. Yeah.
Kim loan you my guy.
And by the way, I need to mention a happy birthday to Kim Utley, who just had a birthday a couple of days ago, and she's a fantastic photographer.
And a wonderful person.
And a great person as well, her and her son Jackson. I'll roll her your way eventually. All right, right. All right. So if we wanted to leave our audience with something you wanted them to know about the great architect Mark Singer, what do you leave our audience with?
He really loved nature and people, and, you know, he was really like a soft person. I know he gets this reputation for kind of being hard. He did.
That wooden home and the fires thing, right, whatever.
Yeah. But he was actually a very kind person. Like, he'd pick up the phone. Everyone was always surprised. They're like, oh my gosh, I talked to your dad. But that's the thing. Like, he actually did the work. He was a really brilliant guy. So really, you know, amazing human. And that's the thing. I think he will always be missed.
Julie, would you agree with me that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree?
It does not. And I feel so inspired being next to Ryan, because being with a true talent is what it makes my world turn, because I have talent and it's nice to be with a fellow colleague who, you know, it brings me back to why I started in this business. And I, you know, it's, we do the same thing. We're making, giving people what they need and the property, you know.
Yeah.
It's really a deep, deep thing.
Julie Lawton, Ryan Singer, it's World Architecture Day. Thank you so very much, both of you, for being here today.
Thanks,
Ed.
I had a great time with you. By the way, Julie, I will see you at Taste of Laguna.
Taste of Laguna, can't wait. Oh my God, come hungry.
It's coming up.
Making me hungry.
10:24 the time.